And they don't get a pass.
Radio.
They can feel about stuff all they want. They can approve or disapprove all they want. But what they're going to hear from him is that it's not necessarily rational and logical. The feelings are the feelings. You feel what you feel. But it's how to direct those in a feminine way or a masculine way. He does both. He helps people men to be more masculine and women to be more feminine, and which is what society needs.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, I wanted to ask you, man, how's your experience in Poland versus patriarchy? This is your second event, so how is that for you, the differences?
Well, that's the thing, man. It's really hard because it's really hard to say which one was better because listen, he is not paying me for this. Y'all, if anybody knows me, y'all know I'm a straight up asshole and I'm very honest about everything. The reason why I call him A1 is because of not just what he puts together. It's just also the group of men that are a part of this, man. It's, Orlando, wow. Elliot, I mean, you had the whole barrage of guys. Just very special. It was no different from Poland. It seems like every event is the same, but goes up just another notch. Now, Warsaw was different because, again, Socrates to me made it a little more special because he was the one that gave me more of a history lesson. You know, I didn't know about Warsaw, and when Socrates was telling me about it, it made it a little more special, but even in a little more special, don't get me wrong, Orlando was fucking awesome. It was ridiculous. But, I mean, it's just like Noah was saying, Richard saying, Sock saying, you got to go there. It's not just watching a video. It's rubbing elbows. It's having dinner. It's afterwards. It's the workshops. It's just the meeting of great minds, and you really get to see what's real and what's fake. You know, George and I were talking last night a little bit about this. It's like, you know what? A lot of people can pretend to be certain things on the internet. You know, a lot of people can pretend to be all tough, bold, and brash and all this other stuff. But when you get to see them face to face, you really know what's real and what's not. Richard, 1,000% real. Sock is Sock. Sock, I don't even talk about you. Sock, you already know, dog. You 100. Anthony, 100. Noah, 100. All the speakers were 100. And the thing that I love the most, the attendees, the guys that went there, they were listening. They were asking questions. They were trying to be a part of this. So it was just so many elements and so many layers to this. It was just mind-blowing. I mean, the whole experience from the dinners, I mean, everything, the meetup, I mean, just everything was ridiculous, Anthony. And I just want to let everyone know, we did open the lines up, and I'll give the number in a second, but Anthony, hands down, again, I don't know what you have cooking up for Orlando, but I don't know, man. Poland's got you, dog.
Always cooking schemes, man. Always scheming. Yeah. I got master plans, man. I just can't stop dreaming.
Well, the only problem, I got one problem. There was one issue, the snow bunnies. But I'm leave that alone. That was on me. That's my fault. That's my fault. But
more snow bunnies.
More snow.
I'm actually, before we get into calls, if we got some, Richard, I was curious. You saw a lot of the talks at the event, Richard. What was your favorite or a couple of favorites?
I hate to call that, you know. First of all, and I mentioned this in my presentation, in my introduction, is that Socrates, he was first up day one. I didn't speak till afternoon of day two, and Noah followed me. But I mentioned in my introduction, because you know all of the drama, like now we're up to, what are we now? I guess I'm the scorekeeper here. We're up to 30 disapprovals from chicks. So, Socrates spent some time speaking to that in the first presentation. I thought it was perfectly appropriate, and it needed to happen right off the bat, and it did. And um, uh, I uh, I had my own comments, which you have to wait for until my presentation comes out public, or I guess on the 21 University site. I'm not quite clear on how Anthony works all this thing. I think it gives time till they process it, then it's up there, and then it's another time where it becomes public.
We're going to try to speed up this process massively, though, like a big jump. It'll still take time, obviously, but we're trying to speed it up.
Yeah, I heard about problems from the patriarch in the processing. Favorite other, there's so many to mention. I liked George's. Ivan, you know, he's a little bit challenging to understand, and you know he fully admits that. But great material. Jack Donovan, and I co-spoke with him at the one a couple of years, the 10-year anniversary. But this is the first time I got to sit and chat with Jack a little bit, and actually we're sitting next to each other on the Redneck Group panel, which I hope will be up soon. That was a lot of fun doing that panel, except I had just so bad in the last half an hour, and I'm like, would you hurry up and close this and wrap this up, man? I guess we're amongst men here, so it's okay to say that. Man, and yours, Anthony, of course, Noah's. I just like everybody. And I'll reiterate that this was the times I've spoken before, I caught some of the presentations here and there on and off, and, you know, then I'd be going around doing stuff and sometimes chatting out in the hallway and so on, because I wasn't really involved in the Mammosphere per se. I'm kind of like George in that way. I'm 58, so, you know, pickup, it's just kind of it makes me look kind of creepy or something like that, I guess. Even though I think
you got game, Richard. That's what matters.
Even though I've dabbled in it a little bit here and there, and Grant, it's Grannon, right? The site guy from Anthony shot some glances at one another at a point. I'll wait till the presentation comes out. But he's a guy, you can call him a pervert, and he says, "Yep, that's me." He's a lot of fun. Who is the other guy? I forget his name. He's the guy from London.
John Cooper.
Yeah, John Cooper. Yeah, I adored his presentation, and I spoke to him afterwards, and I said, you know, you could retitle your presentation "How to Meet People," because he made it. You know, it's kind of like every guy is psyched themselves out because it's like, oh, I got to meet this woman or this hot chick, right? And I'm like, well, do you have trouble talking to a hot chick who's, you know, checking out your groceries or making your Starbucks or whatever? No, you just go up and conduct business. Do you have any problem going up and chatting to a guy? You notice something, and so you can just strike up a conversation. And so it really, when you get off of that, kind of, and that's what his presentation meant to me, is that it's like, it's really meeting people. And instead of approaching it as, what am I going to get from this, to, you know, what can I give? You know, what can I extend? What can I give? And it just smooths the wheels. And I noticed I've been doing that up here in the mountains. I try to go out and I try to strike up conversations with strangers. I don't care whether they're men or women or young or old or ugly or beautiful or thin or fat. I just talk to people. And when you develop this ability to just go up and start talking to people, then it's just like, it's not like, oh, it's the hot chick anymore. It's another person. And, oh, yeah, she's hot. And maybe it takes the pressure off and it works better. Okay? So I hope that I wish I could mention everybody's presentation. Really do. I really do. And it's the first time where I saw every single presentation. I didn't do the workshops, but I did all of the presentations.
Fuck yeah. Sock, what about you and Steve? You guys have some favorite presentations? Both of you saw a lot of them.
Yeah, I saw a lot. I hate to say this is probably the least number of presentations I saw for a number of reasons, but I did see probably more than 80% of them, and I'm kicking myself for the ones I didn't. What impressed me most was not the individual speeches. And like Richard was saying, you could just sort of go on and on about the qualitative nature of it, but was actually able to talk to a lot of the attendees about a particular speaker where they had seen a speech that they didn't know somebody and were exposed to an idea or content that they impacted them in a way that they hadn't anticipated, and being able to have those discussions and be able to talk about it, and then actually to bring them back to the speaker and actually introduce them, you know, and carry that conversation on. And, you know, both Richard and Steve, both on multiple occasions, I've had conversations with the attendees about their talk, you know, about them for various reasons, and that they were always terribly impressed by it. Not only the calibration of the talk and the quality of it, but of the manner themselves. And that speaks volumes. You know, when you sit down and say, hey, not only did they say something that wise and struck me, but their presence as a man and an individual resonated with me as well. And Noah in particular also, you know, as a first-time speaker, my God, does he get it, you know, and talk about an asset to the organization and the culture and feeding right into it. I know he had, concerns about coming in, being the new guy, but he absolutely carried himself like a veteran and has the exposure, you know, quote, like you say, the meat world. And, you know, we had a lot of meat. It was, you know, Poland served up nothing but steak and sizzle and more steak and more fucking sizzle. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, I felt like a carnivore on a paleo diet going amok. You know, it was just an absolute feast of the minds of people and camaraderie.
Yeah, you know, for me, I was thinking a lot about the attendees and I saw all the speeches. I enjoyed all of them. But what I enjoyed the most was really after the speeches when the lights went off and they walked off the stage, the attendees were allowed to, like, walk up. You know, some places they would say, okay, well, the lights go off and you whisk them away and you don't see them for a while. Well, as soon as the lights went off, and they came off the stage, the attendees would get up out of their seats, walk over to them, and ask questions, rub elbows, and talk. And it just wasn't with the speeches. It was also outside. It was, like I say, at dinner. So to me, that was the thing, because if you're an attendee and you're going, you might be a little nervous, but it seemed like everybody there, as far as the speakers, treated the attendees not like attendees, but like just guests or like family, you know. It was just come on up, you can talk to me, you know, I'm on YouTube, so what, but I'm a regular guy like you, what's wrong, let's talk. And you would see them come down and there's a group of guys just circling them, and they would spend the time and talk to every individual person. When they talked to one would walk off, he got his information. And they would wait until the last person, and then they go. And it was – or when we started the next one. But usually we had breaks and things like that. But to me, that's what I liked the most. But the speeches were great, but it was just the connection that we all had with the attendees when the lights went out, they were able just to walk up, talk, and ask questions that will benefit them. Not the whole entire audience, but they had more personal questions that they were asked, Anthony.
Steve, I think you got the first place or the award for the most laughs for sure. I was busting a gut, man.
Yeah, me, right?
I know you mean Yamin, yeah, Jesus. I think I've talked before when George Bruno interviewed me a couple times, and I've said that one of my secrets to making the convention such a magical experience, it really is that good. It's fucking crazy how good it is, right? And because I've done it so many times, I've worked my ass off on it 17 times in a row, 13 years. But one of the secrets to doing that and succeeding with that experience is treating these men like family, exactly like you're saying, Steve, is exactly how I want it to be. I want them to feel like that. And family is really it's not literal blood family, but it is like a tribe. And to me, that's what that word means in this context, family.
Yeah.
It's a tribe. It's a real tribe. It's an offline manosphere tribe, and it's the best one there is in the world. And we attract, therefore, and through that, the best guys. We repel these little losers, these little effeminate weaklings, these codependent narcissists, and in turn we attract like the best of the cream of the crop with speakers and attendees both, which in total make the sum of the experience up. I look at the attendees actually as part of the product itself, which is kind of fucked up, I guess, but I believe it. The guys we have in that room, whether they're working, volunteering, speaking, or just attending, it's a totality of the experience and how that event's going to be remembered for history. Whether it's over the next 5 years or the next 50 or whatever, that to me matters. And it actually shows up in the videos, I think, because that influences everybody's mental state and emotional state when they speak. And they ask questions, and they're on audio, and the speaker's on camera, and the camera guys are working. And what's the quality of their level of work? You know, it should be 100%, but can I get it even above and beyond that? Because there's so much positivity and raw, genuine, hardcore stuff going on at the event. So I'm looking at everything like a total Steve Jobs maniac, as I would view myself with it. And I do my best, and it comes out pretty damn good. In large part, thanks to you guys showing up, kicking ass, speaking, doing workshops and all kinds of things. The workshops are fun, too. That was the second time we got to do those, and I thought they went really well, a little bit better this time than a Patriarch when they were brand new. I know Jack Donovan's, I think, went really well, and Richard Grinan's went super well. But there's a bunch of them. I don't know how many there were total. We got to check, probably like 10 or something like that. And it was fucking awesome. I know, Steve, I think you did one. Richard didn't do one. Did Sock do one? I think Sock might have did. Yeah, you did one with somebody, yeah. Yeah, but Grandin's really stood out, I think. His was packed as shit. And then, Jack Donovan's is really good. Jack Donovan's is powerful, like Noah was saying earlier. I think it's like offline stuff, off-camera stuff. And Jack Donovan was getting savage as fuck in his workshop. Shit, I knew he would never say on camera, on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or anything like that. But he was telling these guys exactly what they wanted to know, which is like the real raw truth behind any kind of censorship or, self-censoring when you're on the internet. So, you know, not get banned or something like that. So it was really cool. It was beyond cool. I mean, fucking loved it. Oh, and it's preparation too now for Orlando. So more, one more notch in my belt, so to speak.
Maybe I should have listened to that since I woke up to my 17th of 30 day Facebook down this morning. So.
Yeah. Yep. Steve, do we have any calls to bump to?
No calls, sir.
I think the new streaming thing is kind of weird for the channel. I got to figure out how to do this better next time. But we can wrap up, man. We don't got to go on for all day on this. I'm going to edit two to the video together and I'll put the audio, clean it up and stuff.
Well, yeah, but I just want to say this to those that are listening, those that's going to listen to all this. The thing about being a man, and this is just a case in point right here, you know, Google Hangouts shut down and we had to find another thing. That's what men do. They are solution based. Now, if we were on the other side of the tracks, Anthony would be sitting in his on Socrates' shoulder crying that Google Hangouts is not working and everything is wrong, and Socrates would be rubbing his head and all the other bullshit. But no, as men, we find solutions. Things are always going to change, and this is a case in point. Just even in the change, it's not going to be perfect all the time, but those are what we call making the proper adjustments. So what you're seeing right now is something that's just happening, guys. You know, the audio was kind of off a little bit, but you know what? We found a way to keep the show and the ship moving forward. So, you know what, Anthony? Good luck on that, brother.
Thanks, man. Fuck yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Looking at the Zoom, feels like, is it muted? Is it not muted? Yeah. And I'm excited, man. I know Redman Group is a bright future. 21 is a bright future. These two companies now working together to do all these things is fucking awesome. There's a couple of new things in the pipeline for RMG we're going to do, new sponsorships, things like that. Obviously, we have so many shows now. You're doing a couple of them yourself, Steve. Sam, it's looking solid as fuck. And going to bring on a lot of new talent, too. We'll get it kind of prepped for the Orlando event, bringing all the speakers we can have now in October.
Okay, wonderful. So what I'd like to do is Socrates and Richard, we'd like to go around the round room and let you too, Anthony. Let's go around the room and let's find out what you're doing, what you have going on for yourselves, just to keep everybody informed. Socrates?
You know, I came back from Poland, hitting the ground running, probably got acclimated, and then had to bounce into work immediately. But what I'm looking at is literally, you know, we're shy of 3 months out to the next convention, so that's a big axe that I'm focusing in on. I've got a small project where I'm trying to actually encapsulate some of my experiences with Warsaw, Poland. I think they were that profound, and I kind of want to share that. So I'm doing a video series, kind of postcard-esque, 2-minute videos of 8